walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. We hope. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I don't know about you, but whenever I hear those words from the prophet Isaiah, the words that are on the cross behind me, whenever I hear those words, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, I immediately think of Handel's Messiah. My wife and I last December had the chance to go down into San Francisco and see and hear a performance of Handel's Messiah, and it was wonderful. Most people, if you ask them what their favorite part in Handel's Messiah is, they will say the Alleluia Chorus. And Alleluia Chorus is spectacular on so many levels. But my favorite part in Handel's Messiah is when those words are sung. Go ahead and take a look and a listen. Preparation. It's the season where we are preparing to be overwhelmed by the gift that God has given us in the manger in Bethlehem. During this season of preparation, during the season of Advent, we're going to be using the words that were just sung, the words that are on that cross, to frame our Sunday mornings. Each morning, we will look at a different name, a different title that is given to the Messiah. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But here's how we're going to do it. We're going to do it in reverse order. We're going to start this morning with Prince of Peace. Next week, we'll look at the Father. We're going to look at the following week, the Mighty God. We're going to look at the following week, Wonderful Counselor, which will allow us on Christmas Eve, when we gather here Christmas Eve night, to celebrate, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. That's a month away. There's still an awful lot that has to take place over the next month. And so this morning, we're going to start with the idea of the Prince of Peace, that the Messiah would be called the Prince of Peace. Now, December is right around the corner. It is upon us in a matter of days, which means, because December is upon us, we will be subjected to countless year-in-review articles and programs as we look back on 2015, and so on and so forth. And I've decided to get a jump on the onslaught. And so over the last couple weeks, I just started looking back over the past year, kind of looking at the headlines for the past 11 months. There were some good things. But let's face it, it was a rough year for our planet. Right after the new year, over the course of a couple days in Nigeria, there were a series of massacres and over 2,000 people were slaughtered. Then in February, there was a ceasefire in Ukraine. In the crisis in Ukraine, there was a ceasefire. And I think, that's good. Ceasefire, good. Yes. But in the first 24 hours of the ceasefire in Ukraine, the ceasefire was broken over 130 times. Soon after that, there were back-to-back earthquakes in Nepal, both of them registering over 7.0 on the Richter scale. Countless lives lost. There was the financial meltdown in Greece that didn't only affect the European economy, but the whole world economy. The events in Syria and the refugee crisis. And of course, just this last month, there were the terrorist attacks, not just in Paris, but in Kenya and other countries that same week. We often understand peace as the stopping of the fighting. We think of peace as a ceasefire. We think peace is a rest in the midst of conflict. And don't get me wrong, we could use all of those things. But to fully understand what peace is, especially in the biblical sense, the Hebrew word that we translate as peace is the word shalom. But shalom is talking about something far more than a ceasefire. Shalom is speaking of wholeness. Shalom is speaking of completeness. Shalom is talking about restoring that which is broken. Think of it this way. Let's say that someone takes my left arm and begins to violently and forcibly twist it. Violently and forcibly twist it so much that the two bones in my forearm, the radius and the humerus, begin to literally twist. But the person continues to twist violently at my arm to the point that the humerus and the radius begin to crack. They don't stop there. They continue to twist, and the bones in my forearm fracture and literally break in half. At that moment, the person stops twisting and lets go. At that moment, is my arm experiencing shalom? Don't get me wrong. I'm really glad they stopped. But my arm will have not experienced shalom until the bones are reset. Until the bones have had a chance to mend and heal. My arm will not experience shalom until I can wiggle my fingers without pain. My arm will not experience shalom until I'm able to do with my arm all the things the arm was created to do. That's shalom. Shalom isn't simply stopping of the twisting in our broken world. It's healing that which is broken. Returning it to the way it was created to be. Over the past couple months, I have watched a lot of the presidential primary debates. Partly out of curiosity, partly for the sheer entertainment value of it all. But I also am watching it because, ultimately, I want to make a wise choice when I cast my ballot a year from now for the next president. And so I've watched the Republican debates, I've watched the Democratic debates, and I found myself, as I watched all of the candidates, I found myself wondering, do any of these individuals hold the keys to Shalom? In a dark and hurting, fractured world, do any of these individual candidates hold the keys for Shalom? And if your answer is yes, then one of two things is probably true. One, you don't fully understand the magnitude of Shalom, or two, you overestimate what any of these individuals will ultimately be able to bring. Anyone that knows me knows that I am an off-the-chart optimist. I am not a glass-half-empty person. I am not a glass-half-full person. I am a glass overflowing with possibilities. This can work. Let's try this. Watch what will happen. God's going to do something. And yet, in the midst of my overflowing optimism, I found myself over the last couple of weeks almost depressed as I looked at the reality of our broken world. Refugees, wars and rumors of wars, another school shooting, rising racial tension, an Amber Alert, hearing about another family where a marriage is breaking up, abuse. There have been times over the last couple weeks that I confess that I've begun to wonder if our world will ever know Shalom. There are times I feel like the darkness is winning. Unfortunately, during those seasons in my life, God does not turn his back on me. And he continues to speak truth through his spirit, and I hear the words of the prophet Isaiah. People walking in darkness have seen a great light. Although sometimes I get discouraged that there is a Messiah. And Messiah's name is Prince of Peace. The child that was born in Bethlehem, child that was put into a manger, would grow into a man who would walk and live in a way that was radically different from the way other people were walking and living. He would grow into a man and he would teach with an authority that the other teachers did not have. And when Jesus began to speak about peace, when Jesus would speak about Shalom, I love the things that he had to say. For Jesus would say, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." A little bit later he says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Do you ever read the scriptures as if they were written directly to you? You ever think about, wait a second, this is God writing me a letter that I need to hear? I do. I read the scriptures that way sometimes, and it allows me to hear the hope that I need in the midst of darkness. And this happened this past week as I was reading through what Jesus had to say about peace, and I can so very clearly hear him say, Mike, I leave my peace with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. I do not let your heart be troubled. And do not be afraid. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace, that you may have hope, restoration, salvation, shalom. In this world you will have trouble. Just look around. You'll see that it's true. But take heart. I have overcome the world. In the words of Revelation, see, I am making all things new. In me, through me, you have access to peace. You have access to shalom, to hope and wholeness and restoration and salvation. Jesus is the way to the peace we so desperately need and desire. Jesus is the way to shalom, and he is the way of shalom. Now let me repeat that for you. Jesus is the way to shalom, and he is the way of shalom. My way to shalom, my way to wholeness, to restoration, to salvation, is through the person and work of Jesus Christ. My relationship with the God, with God Almighty, my relationship with my Father in heaven was fractured, broken by my sin. By my selfishness, by my pride, by my greed, by my lust. My relationship with God was fractured by sin until Jesus came and through his life, death, and resurrection made a way for that relationship to be restored. And through what he did on the cross, I'm able to come to God because he has forgiven me and see my relationship with him restored so that it functions the way it was meant to function. Nothing needs to permanently separate us from the great love that God has for us because of the work of Jesus Christ. He is the way to shalom. But he's also the way of shalom. When we look at Jesus, when we look at what he did, the life that he lived, the things that he taught, he is showing us how to live the way of shalom. We call ourselves disciples. We call ourselves followers of Jesus, meaning that we look at how God lived in Jesus Christ, and we look at what he said and what he taught, and we go, we'll do that. And when we live the way of Jesus, we live the way of shalom. We live the way of humility and compassion and mercy and justice. We live the way of generosity. We live the way of forgiveness and grace. And when we live the way of Jesus, we live the way of shalom. A dark and hurting world sees light and hope, and shalom can become a reality in their life as well. I love the song, O Holy Night, especially one of the last verses, where it says, truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother. And in his name, all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy, in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. As we step into this Advent season, as we step into this season of preparing our hearts and minds to be overwhelmed with the reality of who God is and the gift he's given us in Jesus, may we become increasingly aware that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, the way to and of salvation, and may that make all the difference as we journey to a manger. Would you pray with us, please? Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever, and for that we give you thanks. For the privilege we have to journey together towards a manger, we give you thanks. But as we journey, Father, remind us that you are giving us the Prince of Shalom. That your son. That which is broken is being mended. For the fact that you give us an opportunity to be mended, an opportunity to be part of your mending, we give you thanks. We pray this all in the name of your son, Jesus Christ.